Welcome everyone to the Apocalary Podcast. I'm Steve. He is
Lawrence.
Yeah. It's like a friendly giant type Lawrence. You know, I put a nice little chair around the fire for you. Sit here and Lawrence will talk to you about Micah 3.
Yes. And you can be, does he have a chicken?
Rusty. I could be Rusty the chicken.
Yeah, they're Rusty the chicken.
Why was Rusty in a bag? Like, why did they leave Rusty in a bag all day long? I don't know.
Even though that's probably fairly accurate in some ways, but.
Yeah. Our American audience will go, what are you even talking about? Like, Friendly Giant was a show in the.
Do we have an American audience?
I believe we do.
Oh,
we do. Yeah. Yeah. Children's show in Canada that was really popular.
Then we will refer to Mr. Rogers then.
Yeah. It's like Trolley.
You know, I am impressed with Mr. Rogers, I must say. Mm-hmm. Like he stuck it out his whole life, and he was always decent and clean and proper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lovely man.
Yeah. Well, this week, my friend, we're going to talk about Micah 3.
Yes, we might do 3 and 4.
Okay.
If we ever get going here, we'll probably do that.
Well, it's highly dependent on if I actually show you Micah 4. But anyway,
that's right. Yeah. And this is a continuation of the rebuke, of course. And the thing that I find different here is that it sounds like he's talking to Israel to me.
Yeah.
So Northern Kingdom.
Okay.
But my commentators will say he's actually talking to Judah, and he may be talking to both.
Hmm.
Yeah. And they think that, I don't know if it's because they're using the term Jacob, that they're thinking Judah. Not necessarily though. You know, of course, Jacob was Israel.
Yeah.
So, but some think this is that because actually when they're going through this, they're going to start saying this is Southern Kingdom, and they're going to start talking about the 586, you know, 607 down to 586. The 586, they return in 532. But they're talking about the Babylonian captivity rather than the Assyrian captivity, which is kind of interesting to me.
Yeah.
But so we'll leave it. We'll leave it and say, let's pretend that he's talking to both Israel and Judah in this one.
Okay.
And again, how this got to Israel and Judah, who knows? Right.
Well, like you said, yeah, it like just a mystery how they distributed this message out so quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, starting at verse 1, chapter 3. Listen, you rulers, you leaders of Israel. Here, why don't I just mix the first sentence together? Listen, you leaders of Jacob, you rulers of Israel. Now it makes more sense what I was trying to do, right, folks?
Yeah.
Should you not embrace justice, you who hate good and love evil, who tear the skin from my people and the flesh from their bones, who eat my people's flesh and strip off their skin and break their bones in pieces, who chop them up like meat for the pan, like flesh for the pot? Then will they cry out to the Lord, but he will not answer them. At that time, he will hide his face from them because of the evil they have done.
So nobody thinks that this is actual cannibalism going on.
Hmm.
So just so you know, like when I first read it, I thought, what is he doing skinning his own people? Like, why are they doing this? But they're not. It's really saying that you leaders are treating your people like sacrificial animals, or not even sacrificial animals, like meat for the pot.
Mm.
Like to you, they are nothing more than beasts.
Right.
And do you remember in Revelation when he talks about taking over everything, including the souls of people?
Mm-hmm.
And this is that kind of thing. People are nothing to these guys. The average person is nothing to the wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's saying. And he says, therefore, huh?
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Therefore I'm going to turn my face from you, man. Like, can you imagine God turning his face from you? Like, how serious is that?
Yeah.
And so that's what he's saying to them. He's saying, you're just treating people like they're nothing at all. Yeah. Like they're chattel.
Mm,
mm. Interesting enough, they often thought people were chattel. What is chattel? What is chattel?
I don't know.
Chattel are things that we, oh, look it up. Chattel are things that we own. It's just possessions.
Yeah. There you go. An item of tangible, movable, or immovable property, except real estate and things.
Yeah.
Or a slave. Or a slave.
Yeah. Or a slave, yeah. So it's just property. Chattel is property. You can do what you want with property. And remember, in those days and all the way through time, you could do what you wanted with your slaves. You could, yeah. you could buy and sell and trade and kill and do whatever you wanted.
Yeah.
But and that's what they're doing to their own people.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So the Lord says,
verse 5. This is what the Lord says. As for the prophets who lead my people astray, they proclaim peace if they have something to eat. Yeah, if they have something to eat. But prepare to wage war against anyone who refuses to feed them. Wow. Therefore, night will come over you without visions and darkness without divination. The sun will set for the prophets and the day will go dark for them. The seers will be ashamed, the diviners disgraced. They will cover their faces because there is no answer from God. But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression, to Israel his sin. Hear this, you leaders of Jacob, you rulers of Israel, who despise justice and distort all that is right, who build Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with wickedness. Her leaders judge for a bribe, her priests teach for a price, and her prophets tell fortunes for money.
Yet I don't think this teaching for a price is should be in there.
Oh. Yeah, but it says the priest. It doesn't say the faculty. You're fine. You're fine.
Okay.
Or the registrars. It doesn't
say. Or the registrars or pastors.
It doesn't
say. These are specifically. Yeah. So if we look at this just before you read any further. So this is where they're looking that this passage has to do with Jerusalem as well. Mm. Because he's with Judah. Because he's actually talking about Zion and he's talking about Jerusalem. So he's talking about Judah. And I don't know if there's a shift that he's talking about Israel and now talking about Judah, or if these guys are right and he's just talking to the whole group. He's talking to everybody.
Yeah.
And of course I like this, what he said. I don't like it, but what he's saying is you're going against people if they don't feed you. It's trick or treat stuff, right?
If
the prophet comes to you and you don't feed him, then they're actually going to speak against you.
Yeah. Entitlement, right? Like unbelievable entitlement.
Crazy entitlement. Remember the, and this goes way back too. Remember the prophet, who was the guy who had Samuel? What was Eli?
Mm-hmm.
Remember Eli and his sons? Remember they would take the food from people and take the food from the sacrifices and eat it themselves.
Yeah.
And God judged them severely for that.
Yeah.
And these guys are no different than Eli's sons who God killed when Samuel came on the scene.
Yeah.
And it's just very, very disgraceful.
Mm.
Yeah. You're going to cover your face. When he says I'm filled with power. Now that's an interesting thing for a prophet to say. Micah is saying to them, your prophets are useless. And I wanted to say, because Israel's prophets were pretty much all false, his priests anyway.
Yeah.
But the priests, once you get into Zion and Jerusalem, your priests they're okay. They're proper priests.
Yeah.
And so if they're doing things wrong, then you're really, really running into trouble.
Yeah.
You're really running into some bad stuff. And Micah says to them, he says, I like this. He says, but I'm filled with power and I have the Spirit of God, you know, and I kind of like that the prophet of God is willing to say that to them. I'm declaring your sin because I have. Can you imagine the amount of confidence you have?
Yeah.
Like when I talk to people, I'm like, I don't, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I kind of think God might do something, but you know, I'm a little uncomfortable telling you about your sin, looking at my own. And he's willing to say, I am filled with the Spirit of God, man.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. New Testament prophets can do that too.
Yeah. And he declares his purpose too, right? To declare to Jacob his transgression, to Israel his sin. Like, that is why I came, is to call you people out.
Yeah. By the way, just on that topic, have you ever met a prophet?
No.
I have. a couple of times in my life, I've met people with, I will say, with prophetic gifts, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
Difficult people to be around. I would like you to know that. Very black and white. There are no shades of gray. Definitely not 50 of them.
So, okay, we'll pick it up at 11. Her leaders judge for a bribe. Her priests teach for a price, and her prophets tell fortunes for money. Yet they look for the Lord's support and say, is not the Lord among us? No disaster will come upon us. Therefore, because of you, Zion will be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem will become a heap of rubble, the temple hill a mound overgrown with thickets.
Yeah. And so this is where the commentators say he is pointing to the Babylonian captivity here.
Yeah.
Don't forget, we're still a little before the Assyrian captivity, and the Babylonian captivity is what is it, 150 years later?
Yeah.
But he is pointing to both at this. That's what everybody says anyway, that he's now, if he's talking to Judah, he's pointing to the Babylonian captivity.
Right.
Because Judah was spared the Assyrian captivity.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Kind of interesting, eh?
Yeah.
And your prophets are looking for money, and you're saying disaster's not coming upon us. So now I know people are going to talk to me after and say, this is us, Larry. This is not, you know, 700 years before the New Testament even came. This sounds like us. And maybe sometimes we just have to learn our lesson from these guys rather than learning it for ourselves.
Right. Well, it also maybe speaks to the human condition, right? That yes, this is God calling out Israel and Judah at this time, but it doesn't mean that it won't happen again, because people are people, sinful and stupid.
Yeah. We. And if you and I, Steve, are oppressing people that are in trouble, then maybe we need to take heed about these kind of words.
Yeah. Woe to us as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, as Larry promised, here we are, chapter 4. Just like that.
It's like so easy. It's easy to get there.
Yeah. Starting at verse 1, folks. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains, and will be exalted above the hills, and the peoples will stream to it.
Now, let me tell you that some people will think that this now points to our future.
Mm.
And I'm not going to go there with that. But some will say whenever they talk about the last days, they think about a dispensational future for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the 7 years that are coming with all of that, and then the promises that come with that. I think this is a promise more to these people, you know, that this is, that God is going to do this, and this is going to come. And of course, for me, the last days is always, if you're doing even futuristic talk, the last days are pointing to the cross and then beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The last day started at the cross.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 2.
So if he's pointing to the future for everybody, he's pointing a little bit toward Jesus.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Verse 2 then, folks. Many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his way so that we may walk in his path. The law will go out from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, and nor will they train for war anymore. Everyone will sit under their own vine. Ooh, I've always wanted one. And everyone under their own fig tree. And no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken. All the nations may walk in the name of their gods, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever.
Funny little twist there. All of a sudden, he had the nations kind of coming to them,
mm-hmm.
but now they're walking in the names of their own gods again.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Fig Newtons are quite quite prominent. The only fig I've ever known is a fig Newton.
Yeah.
So just so you know, this is actually Isaiah. This is, this is very, very similar language to the book of Isaiah. And I was just trying to remember where in Isaiah that was, but here in one of my commentaries says Isaiah 2:2-4. Mm. So the beginning of Isaiah talks about this, mm-hmm. and this is not an uncommon theme. This beat your swords into plowshares.
Right.
I saw once something somewhere where it said beat your plowshares into swords. Was that in one of the passages we read, or was that just some movie I saw?
No, it was in one of the passages we read, but I cannot remember where.
Yeah, I think it might have been in Amos that he said that.
Yeah,
where he kind of turned that on its head, right?
Yeah, well.
So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And again, what now he's offered them something, and he's gonna continue with that. This is the promise. This is the future promise to them, mm-hmm. that this thing that I'm doing to you will not last forever. But again, for most of these people, we're talking about if we're talking the Babylonian captivity, we're talking about their offspring, not them. They're dead long before this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know how prophets work, eh? Like prophets are either, like, we usually say that preaching fulfills the requirements of a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
We do say that. But then when we talk about the prophets, we say either they're looking to something that they can see, or they'll do this drawing of hilltops, and they'll say what the prophets are seeing are the hilltops, and they're not seeing the years of going down in the valley and back up to the other hill. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they're just picking highlights, through the centuries is what they're doing.
Okay.
Just so you know.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense, yeah. Right? Because we would assume that this was revealed at least in the time of those that would hear this word.
Yeah. Yeah. But a lot of this isn't going to.
Yeah.
A lot of these people are going to, they're going to get away with it in a sense.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like he's talking about the great destruction coming, and so did Amos and the others. And many of the people are going to live out their lives before that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of, which is, kind of nice.
It's the kind of stuff you and I like to hear, thinking, maybe I can escape.
Now we've got to press it on a little further because we have children now. So we would also like them to escape.
Yeah.
So now he's got this great plan, right? The Lord's plan.
Yeah. Verse 6, folks. In that day, declares the Lord, I will gather the lame, I will assemble the exiles and those who I have brought to grief. I will make the lame my remnant. Those driven away, a strong nation. The Lord will rule over them in Mount Zion from that day and forever. As for you, watchtower of the flock, stronghold of the daughter of Zion, the former dominion will be restored to you. The kingship will come to daughters Jerusalem. Why do you cry aloud? Have you no king? Has your ruler perished? That pain that seizes you like that of a woman in labor? Writhe in agony, daughter Zion, like a woman in labor. For now you must leave the city to camp in the open field. You will go to Babylon. There you will be rescued. There the Lord will redeem you out of the hand of your enemies.
So I was thinking there. So now he's being very clear about where they're going to end up, right? Mm-hmm. So it just cleared up a little bit. And he says, he's talking about their king. You have no king. Well, they are going to lose their king.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have a puppet king before Babylon actually comes.
Mm-hmm.
They have to survive with a puppet king. And he says they've perished now, and Babylon's coming, and you're going to go and there you'll be rescued, which is kind of interesting, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And camp in the open field. So even in these days, nobody really liked camping.
It was stupid in the old days. It's stupid now too.
Yeah. And one guy said, the reason we go camping is so that we appreciate our homes when we come back.
That's right.
but they are preparing now. He's saying, it is coming. You're going to go down to Babylon.
Yeah.
But the Lord's going to redeem you there. And I'm going to just throw it out that the redemption is the return from the captivity.
Yeah.
Right?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Verse 11 now, folks. But now many nations are gathered against you. They say, let her be defiled. Let your eyes gloat over Zion. But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord. They do not understand his plan, that he has gathered them like sheaves to the threshing floor. Rise and thresh, daughter Zion, for I will give you horns of iron. I will give you hooves of bronze, and you will break to pieces many nations. You will devote their ill-gotten gains to the Lord and their wealth to the God of all the earth.
Yeah. So there's still a promise for them. And I don't know, I actually don't know when this promise, the fulfillment of this promise, I don't know exactly how that one's going to work out, you know? There are periods when Israel did very well, like the Maccabean period.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not exactly sure what he's pointing at there in verse 13. As far as historically, I'm not sure. What he's saying is, I'm going to make this okay again.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny when you say something to an entire people, because in one sense it applies to the entire people. Like it applies to their nation, but it doesn't apply to every individual in that.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Yeah, there's some people that would be, like in any calamity, some people that are completely unaffected.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like any kind of a thing, there's people that get caught up in the collateral damage of it.
Yeah.
And remember, he said that before. He said the women are going to pay the price for your sins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. But I don't know what he's breaking with the bronze for sure, Steve.
Mm.
Here it says Micah foresees the collapse of the monarchy, and he sees the restoration and the judgment against the gloating enemies of Jerusalem. So he sees a judgment. But this actually sounds like them being the ones in power again, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And
yeah, who knows? This could be God saying, I'm going to do it for you, or... This could be the Medes and Persians running through Babylon, right? For all we know.
Yeah. 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 And them, you know, getting out at that point, right? But so many things are happening.
Yeah.
But what God is saying to them is I really want the best for you.
Mm-hmm.
You've got some tough things coming because of your actions.
Yeah.
But I really, really want the best for you.
Yeah. A new day is coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not a bad message for us to remember.
Yeah. I'm hoping a new day's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. My friend says, one of my friends up here says, cars are going to be cheap again in the next year or so because recession's coming and nobody's going to have money. So it wasn't a total positive message.
Oh, sure. You people are in serious trouble. But those of us that got secure jobs, we're fine.
Yeah, we're okay. We're okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, don't touch the oil or the wine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, thanks, man.
Buddy, thank you for that. Folks, what a great word, right? To think that, like Larry said, Israel, Judah, depending on what we think it's talking about, are going to go through some very hard times. But God has something better for them in store once he redeems them. And it's going to be him that redeems them. It's not that they redeem themselves. Yeah. So thank you for coming along and listening to us. Like I said, it's always such a, it's so honoring the fact that you actually listen to us week in and week out. And we're thankful for that. So until next time, I was Steve, he was Larry, and this was the Apocalypse Podcast.